Yeah. If you didn't blow a 4-run lead against Tampa Bay in April.
Right.
The Toronto Blue Jays would have had to come to Yankee Stadium.
It goes both ways. And by the way, you would have lost to Toronto anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Let's be honest about that.
But maybe they get knocked out by the Red Sox.
Maybe, but they were better. They were better.
They were better.
They had a better matchup. It was the same record.
They were 2 innings away from losing in Game 7 to Seattle.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, I don't think the Seattle Mariners are better than the Yankees.
I don't think they are either.
The postseason's a crapshoot.
Yeah, April 17th, we lost the entire season on the division that day. It's crazy talk. Because here's why. Because you guys never consider the game you come from behind down 4 runs in the 9th inning
100%.
And steal a victory, which is why I've always said this. You're going to win 60 games every year guaranteed. You're going to lose 60 games every year guaranteed.
Yeah.
All right?
It's what you do.
You got 42 other games.
Yeah.
Those are the only games that matter.
Yeah.
The games that you blow a 4-run lead in the 9th. The games you come back from down 4 runs in the 9th.
Yeah.
Those are the only games that matter. And every team's in the same boat. You're going to win 60. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose 60. The games that get decided late.
Yeah.
What do you do in those 42 games?
You come up with that all by yourself?
All by myself.
That's amazing.
That's exactly right.
I'm glad. That's
why? Has that someone else stolen that from me?
I've never heard that
you
before.
Ask anybody. That's a me thing. That and pitchers only pitch 1 inning a game.
Yeah.
But they pitch every game.
But they pitch every game. So you have 9 pitchers on the staff.
You're going to have a couple injuries. Probably need 12.
Just in case.
Maybe 13.
Yeah, yeah.
What's a normal team carry? 13, 12?
Yeah, 12, 13.
Who's the baseball guy? Thank you. Told you. By the way,
all right.
No one wins the Cy Young in that manner, obviously.
I mean, someone would have to, unless they get rid of the award.
Not on my team. I'm saying, if I do that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were assuming all
like
in baseball.
Garrett Cole.
No.
Garrett Cole, inning a day.
That's ridiculous.
1 inning a day.
It's ridiculous.
First inning. Done. Freed. You get the second. We'll get to Bednar. We'll get to him eventually.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But that's how it goes.
All right. Listen, we're getting closer and closer.
I can't wait for my guy, Big Boone, to come on the show.
Yeah, you see.
I'm going
to
walk him through that.
Big Boone.
Big Boone. AB. I'm going to walk him through that, and I guarantee you he says, you know what? I think there's some merit to that idea.
I guarantee he does not.
And he's a baseball lifer. His dad's a baseball guy. His uncle's a baseball guy. Brother's a baseball guy. Yeah. He's a baseball. Right? They eat baseballs for breakfast in the Boone house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to like that idea.
He's going to love it. You know why?
Why?
Because he's cutting edge.
Yeah, he's cutting.
He's cutting edge.
He's cutting edge.
He's cutting edge.
No.
In year 10, cutting edge. Cutting edge.
I hope so.
When I think Aaron Boone, I think baseball royalty. But that's just me. Maybe it's the last name more than the first name.
Yeah.
But the Boones are like baseball royalty, right?
Yeah.
Are they like the Ripkins?
Baseball family royalty. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like if you think... 5 families, baseball royalty. The Ripkins.
Yeah, the Ripkins.
The Alomars.
The Alomars.
The Boones.
The Boones.
Is there another one that immediately pops to mind?
There should be.
The Mookie Wilsons? Probably not. Nope.
The Griffies?
I mean, it's just two, though.
Just the two of them, but they were...
I had very good players.
Yeah.
But probably not, because then you have to go Bonds, right? Bobby and Barry.
Bonds, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there a guy, is there a family, no-name producer that I'm missing?
The Alus, you said?
No, I didn't say that you lose.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's one that you didn't say.
Moises and Felipe? Is there a third one?
Yeah.
Must be, right? Got to be like.
Who's the other one?
Well, Luis
Pepe? Pepe?
Pepe Felipe?
No, Alou.
Alou. Right.
Pepe Alou? Felipe Alou.
Pepe Felipe.
And Moises Alou.
And Moises Alou.
So you got the Alous, the Alomars, the Boones.
Right.
That's about it.
I should know if they're not coming to me off the top of my head.
Baseball family.
Baseball family.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, those guys, that's like Hall of Fame stuff right there. Which is, you always have to wonder, like, why would a singular family like that be blessed with that many amazing talents like they all were?
Right.
Like, we take for granted sometimes, because you see a guy only bats 210, how hard it is to bat 210.
Yeah.
Like, they're better than 99.9% of anyone that's ever picked up a glove, a ball, and a bat.
I know.
Right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know what else I found amazing on that line that I've been talking about for a while?
I'm being set up here because you two.
No, it had nothing to do with what he was telling me. No, he was telling me Luis Rojas is part of the Alou family. But
he's part of the Rojas family.
Well, I think he's...
No, I think his father-in-law is Moises. Which I think is just a Spanish Moses.
You think so? Sounds right. Right, we'll go with it. No.
No?
But on the... Did you hear about the Bill Burr now I'm forget his name, the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins. What was
Billy Corgan?
Billy Corgan.
Yes.
That they're apparently
they're brothers,
right?
And Bill Burr does not like talking about
it. Like talking
and about got
it.
Pissed when Howie Mandel set him up. Yes.
Howie Mandel
I'm
set
aware
him
of
up.
That.
Can you imagine, what are the odds
Go.
That a guy would have two families and sire two children that would grow up to be like one of the more premier voices of 90s rock and a very...
That's a stretch, but okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Smashing Pumpkins. I'm not limited to 90s,
okay.
like, again. But a wildly successful 90s
and
rock
the other
musician.
One become a woke comic?
Well, I mean, woke, one of the better comics of his...
I think he's a brilliant comic,
yeah.
I don't like how he's changed the act because the act was brilliant.
Right. But what are the odds that you would, like, just like someone who would have multiple kids from multiple people would have two, like, extremely successful creative people?
If you're going down that road, what's the likelihood that you could have five brothers that, you know, go platinum with every album and two daughters who also have number one hits?
Right. The Jacksons?
Bingo.
Yeah, but they were in one band. I mean,
Janet Tito wasn't in the Jackson 5.
No, I understand that.
Phil was.
Phil
Jackson. He was the fifth Jackson. A lot of people don't know that. It was Tito, Jermaine, Michael, and Phil.
Can you imagine him and those shoulders like standing above?
He was the lesser known of the Jackson 5.
He was the sixth man on the Knicks.
Yeah,
right?
So, see?
Sixth man on the Jackson.
Here's Matt in Westchester on the fan. Matt, what's up?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Good.
Just want to start off, Craig, first time calling, but before I get into my point, I just want to say I just hit a year and a half in my recovery,
awesome.
and hey, my name is Craig, and everything you do is
you.
A huge inspiration for me.
Well,
so
listen,
I
good
really,
for you.
I really appreciate that.
What was your addiction?
Gambling.
Got it.
A year and a half, and a couple of people you've had on the show, I've worked with very closely, so. Really comes full circle. So
when calls like this mean everything to me, and I'm proud of you. 18 months is no joke to be in recovery.
Congrats.
I would just ask you one question. I'll let you get into the sports thing. And I ask this question a lot for people like me and like you who are in recovery, who don't gamble anymore. And I'm sure it applies to drugs and alcohol as well. Is there one specific thing that you found that you use to replace all the time and thinking you spent on gambling, like a hobby or something that worked for you?
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily a hobby, but I think, you know, going to an inpatient treatment, especially at my age, I'm only 26, allowed me to sort of reset my appreciation for everything that I had. And I didn't appreciate family. I didn't appreciate, you know, texts from my mom, brother, dad, grandmother, and all of it went away. And I think just all of that coming back has really been the thing that keeps me on the straight and narrow every day, because I can't do without that anymore. And there was a time in my life where I was willing to not have that. And now that's something I need and is so integral to me.
Well, good for you. Like I said,
I just wanted to say how much I appreciate it.
I'm really proud of you. You need to hear that. It's great that you're doing it. And I would say this, if you consider the fact that you were able to figure it out at 26, I didn't do it till I was 50. So you're way ahead of the game and have an amazing life in front of you. And I'm really thankful that you shared that. So thank you. So go to your baseball, your football point. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only thing that, you know, really sticks out to me, and I know C-Mac, I've been listening to you for a while, just listening to you talk about the Jets is 2 points. If you fire Glenn, what is the pitch to other coaches coming in that would make them want to take the job, right? Because it's like, okay, you draft a rookie quarterback and you win three games, and you look really bad. Like, what coach is going to be like, I really want to take this job, knowing that Aaron Glenn, yes, he made the decision to get rid of Rodgers, but like, how are you selling that? The Jets can't afford to be, I think, more dysfunctional than what they are. And I think perpetuating that without the Mike Vrabel, you know, slam dunk hire is not a good move. And the other point I just want to make is, C-Mac, I hear you talk a lot about, you know, especially concerning the Giants, how, you know, they were really competitive against this team, but then they didn't win. And they were really competitive against this team, and then they didn't win. The Jets, for the first 7 weeks of the season, outside of they were not competitive against Buffalo and they were not competitive against Dallas, were competitive every week, and they didn't win.
Yeah, but you know,
and
that, you know what that is? And Matt, I appreciate your call. And obviously, Big Mac will get into that in a second. That's a participation trophy.
Yeah, no, agree.
It's a moral victory, and we get to that might work for kids, you know, at the local dojo or kids in Little League, which it does. And there's a lesson there. Not for pros. I'll answer that first, and you jump in.
Yeah.
What you say to a prospective head coaching candidate, to me, is simple. There's only 32 of these jobs.
Absolutely.
You want one or not? Like, you know, I'm not selling them on the Jets.
No. Nope.
We have no culture.
Yep.
We have no history of winning. I'm not selling them on the building, which is great, but every team's got a great facility outside of Cincinnati,
yep,
more or less. I'm selling him on the opportunity to walk on water in New York City. Think about how fondly we think of Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan had 2 good years.
Yep.
Right? Great years. Back to back AFC championship games. I never would have fired him. Another story for another day. But you're offering these men one of 32,
mm-hmm,
and that should be enough.
No, I totally agree. That should be enough. You're also offering them a top pick with a chance to draft a quarterback, a team with a bunch of cap space, that money to spend. And, yeah, one of the 32 teams in the NFL. I think that, and again, but that's not a reason. We talk about that as if that's a reason to hang on to someone that we don't believe in.
No, like, it's not.
I mean, Glenn shouldn't stay because I don't know who I'm going to hire.
I agree.
Like, that's just not a good enough answer for me. You could find someone. You have found coaches in worse scenarios and guys who no one ever heard of, right? We're all falling over all over ourselves to get Mike Tomlin. He was a defensive backs coach who nobody thought of until he got into the room.
Because of
the Rooney Rule.
Right.
And now they've had a coach for 19 years. So the idea that, well, who the hell are they going to hire? There's no Mike Vrabel. There's a long list of guys between Glenn and Vrabel that I would be willing to take a chance on right now,
yep,
as opposed to a guy who clearly to me can't handle the job.
And I would do exactly what Indiana did when they hired Cignetti. Right?
Yeah.
Find a guy that all he's ever done is win.
Right.
I don't care what he did.
Yep.
Was he a coach? Yeah. Did he win? Let's talk to that guy. Because the thing that bothers me the most, and I'm guilty of it too, it's the same 10 names. Look, I think Cliff Kingsbury would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guilty of bringing up a name that's been around already, right?
Yeah.
And I'm with you. There's a coach out there. Maybe he's 35. Maybe he's 50. I don't know. There's a coach out there on another team staff or, heck, in college that would be a great NFL coach.
Absolutely.
But you got to go find him. And by the way, one quick thing on that. As much as I happen to love Mike Tannenbaum and respect the 33rd team and you know, the thing they do with all that, if you need to hire an outside company to do your bidding and searching,
mm-hmm,
for the man who's going to be the next face and leader of your franchise, sell the team. Sell the team. You shouldn't need to hire a company to go out there and bring to you the 5 best LinkedIn applications, right?
Right.
And by the way, when has it ever worked out?
Yeah, it's very rare.
Right?
It always seems to be
a disaster. How do you think we got Idzik back in the day?
Right.
Search firm.
Todd Bowles, right?
Okay?
Yeah.
Search firm.
Yeah.
Go find them yourself.
Yep.
You got plenty of people in those organizations with nothing to do today. Tell them to go make a list of prospective head coaches. More of your calls coming up. Got some Giants stuff coming up as well. 888-808-1019.
This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. And right now we're focused as Ranger fans, as I'm wearing my Ranger hoodie today, with the injury to Igor. Another blown game, third period lead blown.
I got to interrupt. I have breaking news.
Okay, breaking news.
All right, I have breaking news. I apologize for that. Are you ready? Kevin Stefanski is on a plane right now on his way to Newark Airport.
Is that a fact?
Yep. That's right. Now,
well,
I don't know why he'd be coming to New Jersey. Do you?
No, not for certain, but I can suspect.
And he's sitting in first class.
Oh, you've got a little someone
right
on the inside of the plane.
That's right. That's right.
Look at you.
Now, I want to be clear about what I'm saying here.
Right.
I'm not telling you that he's meeting with the Giants.
Right.
I'm not telling you that the Jets said, why don't you come by just in case Aaron Glenn went away on vacation. What I am telling you is that a guy who has already been linked to the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't the Giants want to talk to him?
Of course.
He had some limited success in Cleveland. 2-time coach of the year, right? Still very well thought of. Your guy, Kevin Stefanski,
mm-hmm,
is on a commercial plane right now, sitting in first class, yeah, on his way to Newark Liberty International Dump Airport.
I'm not surprised.
More on that coming up after this.
They should be talking.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Well, let's now make it the fan focus. Why not? I was going to talk about another third period blown lead by the Rangers at home, or the idea that Igor had to get assisted off the ice, and we have no idea how long he's going to be out with the infamous lower body injury. But let's focus on, hey, Shostanski's on his way to Newark Airport. Let's focus on that. Stefanski. I think I said Igor Shesterkin came out Shostanski. Stefanski's on his way to the airport. And this fan focus was sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Well, hang him high, Billy. Welcome back. Carton Show. Big Mac. Carton. 888-808-1019. Don't play this ever again. he's having a tough day.
This poor bastard.
I said to him,
when we hired him.
I go, you pick it until I don't like it. Well, I didn't like it. It's like dull. I told there you, uplifting. Let's go. Pop, 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 bit, pop, pop. I love country music, but listen, why don't you listen to Kenny Rogers on the way home? I will. All right? Unless there's someone else. Who's on after us?
After us?
Yeah.
Me.
Okay.
And then after
then
me.
Right. Yeah. Is there another show on after you?
After Hours with Tommy Lugauer.
When does that start?
7 o'clock.
February?
No.
It's already started?
It's already begun.
Oh. Okay.
He did his first one in the overnight, the Monday morning.
Was it called Dudes and Dogs? Is that what it was?
I don't believe so. It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer.
After Hours. Oh, that's so they can replace
plenty of house music.
Right.
And we're all in that same boat. Easily replaceable with the
name. That's why you name a show without putting people's names in it.
Okay. Well, that's nice. Thank you for the
comment. It's hard to get rid of Carton if it's called The Carton Show. Easier to get rid of the other guy.
Easier to get rid of the whip?
Nah, you're my guy. You know that.
All right.
So if you're just tuning in, it is the Carton Show, and we have a breaking news. And that breaking news, according to my people, my sources, is that Kevin Stefanski is on a plane right now. I have photographic evidence to back that up as well.
Nice.
Sitting in first class on his way to Newark Airport. And that means, of course, that he's probably not vacationing in Tom's River, but he's on his way to meet with the Maurers, the Tishes, et cetera, and have a conversation about possibly becoming the next head coach of the Giants. Now, you have to remember this. Kevin Stefanski seems like the hot name right now being kind of bantered about.
Yes.
I should mention to you that Washington has allowed Cliff Kingsbury out of his contract. He's going to get a bunch of interviews as well.
Your guy, yeah.
That's my guy. That's the guy I want for the New York Giants. But it looks like Kevin Stefanski, and if this is accurate, what I'm saying to you, and he does come into town specifically to meet with the New York Giants, I would actually give the Giants a little golf clap on that. Because they're not, I almost said a bad word, they're not waiting.
Yeah.
They're not going to let the market play itself out. They're going to be aggressive.
Right.
If Stefanski's the guy you want, they're going to try to go get him. And then if you love him and he's your guy, then you don't let him leave.
And you
make him what they call, it's called a hotel offer.
And I think it's good. You know, he's not on his way to Atlanta right now. He's not on his way.
Right.
You know,
Tennessee.
The Giants are, I think the Giants are the job.
I
think the Giants are the job right now. And I think he is the clear front runner. He's the clear front runner for the
and
job
by the way,
as of right now, as of today. And I'm excited about it.
You should be.
I am. I think he's a good head coach. I really do.
Let me caution you on that, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's well thought of. He's a two-time coach of the year.
Yep. With the Cleveland Browns.
He
won with Joe Flacco.
Hang on.
Right.
We also have to be fair about it.
Yeah.
He also has to eat some of that responsibility. I know he came out, I guess, yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, and kind of distanced himself from the Browns' decision to make the deal to go get Deshaun Watson.
Which I think is fair.
And that's fine. If you want to put that on Barry, the GM there, and Haslam, the owner, I'm fine with that. And I appreciate the fact that you're now kind of telling family secrets and you want people to know, I had to coach him, but I never would have traded for him and I was against the trade.
Right.
All right, that's a little shotting part on the way out. I get that. You know, that might be ego.
Wouldn't you want to distance yourself from the worst trade in NFL history?
But
like,
I
don't take that as like being a bad employee. He's trying to distance himself from the worst trade in NFL
but
history.
But doesn't he have to take some ownership of the fact that under his tutelage, Deshaun Watson never played worse?
That's fair.
right?
That's fair.
And so when you play that game of, you know, it wasn't me, it was them, that's fine.
Yeah.
They get to say the same thing.
Yeah.
We thought you were the greatest quarterback coach and offensive coordinator in football history, and I know he got hurt and was suspended to start. When he was healthy and played, Deshaun Watson stunk. He's got to eat some of that.
I think
got to swallow that.
Well, yes, and I think much like Vajayjay, masseuses are undefeated. I think that we're learning that. I mean, come on, that situation.
They're not clearly masseuses, Chris.
Well, okay.
I don't want to. But I they're not masseuses.
Well, I'm just saying
they're Instagram skanks. Let me walk you through some of the girls that went to Houston to massage Deshaun Watson.
Well,
some of those girls.
If you do massage, are you not a masseuse?
There's no massaging.
I'm just saying.
Now, he may have been on tour with actual masseuses.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the allegations that the team masseuse, a young lady, was victimized by him.
Right.
Serious issue.
Sure.
But the far majority, as I've been told, of the women that were hurt by him and you filed the lawsuit against him were Instagram skanks. And let me walk you through how it worked. He would find a sexy skank on Instagram and he'd say, I'll fly to my crib in Houston.
Right.
You in? And a number of those girls came from Atlanta.
Right.
So there's like a hot skank on Instagram and under the guise of, man, my hammies are killing me. My hammies, my glutes, my groin especially. I need a special touch.
Where I keep all my tension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these girls would get on planes at like midnight.
I understand.
Fly from Atlanta to Houston. They're not flying there because he can't find a masseuse in Houston.
I understand that. My point is,
he wanted a skank. And you get what you pay for.
I understand.
Uh-huh.
But I'm saying that situation, don't you think?
Let me ask you a question.
Don't you think that made it harder to coach him? Don't you think something was going on with him personally? Don't you think that hindered his career? I'm not saying that Stefanski doesn't get any blame. You're right. But don't you think that that whole thing was part of the reason he was never the same player again?
I don't. Because the league.
You think it's
stuff,
more injuries and coaching than it was everything weighing on him?
Well, by the time he, you know, they played out the suspension, was it 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever I figured it was?
It was a full, he had a full year. Didn't he have a full year suspended? And they gave him the contract where he got paid
no
money.
Year came
one.
After.
Yeah.
But and maybe he just was so rusty that he never got it back, the mojo back.
Yeah.
But I don't like it, when you point fingers, remember there's three pointing at you.
I understand.
Don't forget that. Let me ask you a quick question.
That is fair though. He took a quarterback that prior to that incident was one
Pro
of the
Bowler.
Best. Absolutely.
The top five quarterback in the game.
100%. Top
like,
five. And
I,
was
and
never
what,
close to the same
to be
under
fair,
Stefanski.
When they made the trade, you could have said because of all the legal stuff going around it. You never would have made that trade until the legal stuff played out and knew he was going to be eligible to play. Fair comment. I can't argue against that.
Yeah.
But from a talent standpoint, when the Cleveland Browns made that trade, the only thing that you could really criticize about the deal was the guaranteed $250.
Correct.
Because it was a precedent-setting deal.
Yep.
No one else had ever gotten a guaranteed deal at that level.
Yep.
And you could, a lot of people said, why would you guarantee $250 million to a guy that's got all this legal stuff, and by the way, could have been imprisoned over all of it, right?
Absolutely.
That was a fair criticism. From a talent standpoint, I know I was doing a show somewhere, you were doing a show somewhere.
I think we were together.
I think maybe.
Yeah, I think we were.
I think the commentary was, the Browns just got themselves a quarterback, look out.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it. Now, it didn't pan out.
Right.
But let me ask you a question. There are a lot of places I've been told about here in our great city.
Yeah.
Where if you want a little extra, it's available. It's not on a menu. It's available.
It's like a McDonald's secret menu item.
If you unwittingly, let's say for your birthday, I buy you a massage.
Right.
Who doesn't like getting a nice, legit massage?
Sure.
Right? And it's a local place, maybe around 35th or so. All right, but it's a local place here in New York City.
Yeah.
And you go in, it's all above board. You're just going to get a regular average 90-minute deep tissue massage.
Mm-hmm.
And as the gal who's doing the massaging, masseusing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She gives you the knuckle drive-by.
Right.
To sense your interest, right? What do you do?
So Stefanski, the issue with the issue with him not
taking
credit.
You didn't ask for it, but the knuckles do a little testicular drive-by.
Yeah.
Do you just keep your mouth tight and let it play itself out? Or are you like, no, honey, That's not what I'm here for.
I say, honey.
Yeah, you
That's
do.
Not what I'm here for.
That's right. Baby McMonagle's coming home tonight.
That's it.
All right.
At 9:30, I don't need anyone angry at me. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm with you. Here's Ricky in Bergen County. Ricky, what's going on, Cookie?
Craigie, how you doing, buddy?
Great.
Long time what's going on, Ricky?
Thank you.
Hey, good. Congratulations. Hey,
thank you.
Listen, so the difference between a wife and one of those dates is that no difference. They both take all your money, but the wife eventually got to cut the sex off. You know, and still take all your money.
Sounds like you've lived a tough life.
Yeah, man. Anyway, so I one time saw a sign at the post office that said, "No dogs allowed except seeing eye dogs."
Okay. Yeah. I got it.
You get it?
I get it. Like he's saying, who would need that sign?
Who would need that sign, right?
And yeah. I tell you, these wacko Generation Z kids who have, peacock and emotional support animals.
Yeah.
Don't bring your dog into the post office unless you're blind.
Right.
But who's the sign for?
The people who are going to bring their dogs in.
The people that are like, he's just so cute. I'm going to bring him in.
Yeah.
It's like for the Kirk Herbstreets of the world.
Right.
Like, I love dogs. I'm so sick and tired of his golden retriever.
Yeah.
Forcing it on other people, making other people play with his dog, walk his dog, clean up after his dog. We get it. You love your dog. Who doesn't? I've got a great rescue dog at home named Deacon. I love him to death. I don't force him on other people. I don't bring him to work and tell the unnamed producer, make sure my dog eats and poops outside while I'm working.
Right.
Right? Hug him and take a picture of them and set up an Instagram account for him.
Yeah.
Like, it's enough. Ugh. Yeah. Makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
And I'm a dog guy.
Yeah.
People love dogs.
With their dogs. Proud dog parent and all this stuff. It's
the worst thing with dogs, and again, I'm a dog guy.
Yeah.
Bark in the park pisses me off.
Yeah.
I can't stand that.
I would not go to a game if I knew everyone was bringing their
animals. The dog's not enjoying the baseball game. He has no idea he's there.
No, none.
Yeah.
None.
And no one wants to deal with your dog.
Yeah.
He's not a child. And that's another thing.
Oh.
People that bring infants to games.
I'm sorry. I don't know why.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And they got the headphones on because it's so loud.
Oh, but it's Billy's first game, and we want to, take. He don't know he's at a baseball. He's pissed.
He has no idea.
Guy brings a six-month-old to a Yankee game, and he's like, it was a great idea when I thought about it. No, it wasn't.
Then we all applaud him when he tries to catch a foul ball with the baby in one hand.
If he catches it,
well, then you get it.
You got to be amphibious to do that. Here's Junior in J.C. Well, don't ask that, though. I'm going to say it today. Junior, what's up, kiddo?
Right. Hey, you guys forget about the Marino brothers with the baseball family.
The Marino brothers?
Molina.
The Molina brothers.
Oh,
yeah.
Molina.
Yeah.
Esteban? And who else?
Jose.
Jose.
Yadier, Benji.
Benji.
Jose, Benji, and
Yadier. All catchers, by the way.
All catchers. Look at you.
That's right. The whole family.
The whole family.
Bunch of squatters.
All right. Happy New Year. Have a good one.
Thank you, Junior. Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah.
Is it me or did he sound nothing like the voice we heard in the background?
Two different people.
Two different people.
I think he had a guy holding the phone.
I don't know what the hell that was.
I think he had like a dude working for him. Listen, you hold that phone. That when you hit the button, click, give me the phone. It's my phone. Sounded like a high-pitched guy on helium.
Yeah.
And then, I've got the Molinas.
It's the Scolari brothers. from Ghostbusters? It's the Scolari brothers. I put them away 10 years ago.
Here's Ray in Staten Island. Hey, Ray, is Staten Island leaving New York City? Is that still happening or no?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Right. I'm a veteran, served time in South Korea, and I want to let you fellas know about Stevie Wonder and the watch. Okay. I had a brain stroke in 2005, and I lost most of my vision. I have what they call from the VA a talking watch. You push the button one time, and it tells you the time. You push it a second time. It gives you the date and the year.
Wow.
Just in case you get confused and get old.
Totally appreciate that. That's not the type of watch he's wearing in the picture I saw, but totally appreciate that they make watches like that for folks like yourself. And thank you for your service, Ray.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it
very, very much. There you go.
I figured there was some type of either Braille watch or watch specifically designed. But if he's wearing a Rolex, I don't know if Rolex
My wife has
that.
A friend who's deaf who has a vibrating pad on the bed mattress as opposed to an alarm. And that's how he wakes up in the morning and goes to work.
Interesting.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
You gotta,
clever.
Yeah, clever.
Because he can't, hear the alarm. so the bed vibrates and it wakes him up. It also serves another purpose, too.
I could imagine.
You never know. Yeah. Go to the Poconos.
Yeah. Get out of the champagne glass right into a vibrating
bed. Right into a vibrating, heart-shaped bed. At Kutcher's or something like that.
A couple of chocolates and Big Mac donuts.
Fireplace. I would love to blue light one of those rooms just for, like, my own, you know.
Yeah. My own the blue light, you see, the black light, you see the stains?
Blue light, because, have you ever been to a place like that with your wife?
No, I have not.
Like, don't you feel like whatever you'd want to do, you would do it without going under the covers?
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. So. I think I'd stay on top.
So we all think the same.
Yeah.
Which is why I'd want to black light it.
Yeah.
No, be like a CSI crime scene of those places. What was the one place back in, like, the 70s? You used to hear the commercials. I'm blocking on it right now. Oh, Mount Airy Lodge.
Mount Airy Lodge, yeah.
Yeah. And then we showed, like, a pretty girl and, like, a handsome buff guy and the champagne glass
Of course,
hot tub.
Yeah. I think we vacationed there as a kid. It wasn't just, I think it was like a vacation site.
Yeah,
but
like you go to, like, the Lake Pocono or something like that.
Bring your love of everything. I think that was the jingle of the commercial.
To Mount Airy Lodge?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a hook to the song, Mount Airy.
Something about it. I remember the end of it was Bring Your Love of Everything. I feel like
Got
that
it.
Was it.
So you're a diehard Giant fan. You're just tuning in.
Yes.
And we have word and photographic evidence to back it up that Kevin Stefanski is on his way to Newark, New Jersey from Cleveland right now.
Right now.
Do you want him?
Yes. Right now, the number one coaching hire out there, I think he's perceived to be the best coach available, is headed to Newark to talk to the best team available.
Okay. Now, so play it out, though.
Yeah.
Look, he's been around the block. He's not going to tell you anything new.
Yeah.
You know who he is. You know everything about him. Mm-hmm. He's done his due diligence, I assume, on the roster and what he would have been inheriting. And obviously, he's, you know, seen Jackson Dart, who's got an opinion on the Giants quarterback. Would you be okay as a Giants fan if Stefanski, I'm assuming the meeting, maybe dinner tonight, and then they have a full-fledged meeting at the complex tomorrow.
Right.
That's usually how these things kind of work. Would you be upset if he does that and goes somewhere else? In other words, is he so clearly your number one guy that you want him not to leave here without a signed paper?
Well, it's not the way it works, right? They got to go through the Rooney Rule. They have things to do. I don't know.
You can kind of fugazi that, though. Take that out of it. I'm saying from a fan standpoint.
I hear what you're saying, yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
like, the Giants have never had a black coach. They're not going to have one this year either, probably.
I would tell you, well, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean,
we'll see.
They're not getting Brian Flores. He's suing them.
Correct. He's out.
Right.
I would think that he's not going to be the head coach.
Yeah. Vance Joseph would not make the fan base happy.
Would not make the fan base happy. Right.
Now, so listen,
he's the defensive coordinator for one of the top two or three defenses in the NFL. They were great last year as well. But no, he doesn't
excite
me.
He's not the guy.
He's not the guy. I would tell you, as excited as I am about Stefanski, and I do believe he is an excellent hire. As we said yesterday, I would be okay with him leaving the building without hiring him, because I am exhausting every opportunity to bring in Mike Tomlin or Harbaugh. I know they haven't been moved
yet.
Well,
Tomlin, you got to wait, obviously.
You got to wait for him, obviously.
Right.
I would make sure. I would talk to people in, like, Baltimore. I would make sure that one of those two guys are not becoming available. And the minute I do that, I would then, and I feel confident enough. I truly do. I know it. And we had this conversation yesterday about the reasons why Joe Shane would come back. As frustrated as I am with him, and as much as I want him not to be here, the team is in a good enough position where, amazingly enough, I am confident that Stefanski would not take another job until he knew he couldn't get the Giant one. I think the Giant job is that good that I am not overly concerned about him talking to Atlanta or him talking to some of these other teams.
There's a small risk on that,
And
it's a financial risk, nothing else.
Someone blows him out of the water.
Yeah. So you figure Kevin Stefanski's going to get $7, $8, $9 million a year, right? 5-year deal, somewhere in that ballpark, right? So the only risk of that is you're not afraid of the other five teams right now that are going to be looking for a new head coach.
Right.
You're not afraid that they're going to swoop in and steal him because you think your situation's better.
Yeah.
But they make him an offer that's so much better than what you're willing to make, even if he calls you and says, I want to be the Giants head coach, but man, they just offered me $80 million.
Yeah.
That's the only risk of it. Now, I don't think the Giants are going to pay any coach right now $16 million a year.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I do think the Giants job is the best job of the six that are currently available. There might be a seventh. We'll see, you know, what happens in Tampa. next couple days. But if you're that cocksure that he's your guy, then you get the deal done.
No, I agree. If you do,
because why mess around with it?
Yeah, no, I get it. I still think, I mean, maybe the Raiders because they have the first pick and we don't know how he feels about Mendoza. But outside of that, the thing about this with Stefanski is, and you have to be careful, right? And the Giants are risky because they haven't been a successful organization for a decade. If you go right from one job to the other and you fail, it is
you're done.
You're done.
Now you're financially set for life.
You're financially set for life.
But you're a 50-year-old guy with no job.
Yeah, you want to be a head coach in this league. He's got to be very careful. He's a hot commodity right now. He's going to have his opportunities to go with almost anything.
I'm fascinated that
it's a very interesting decision for him.
It's fascinating to me that you're not the only one. So I'm not picking on you.
Yeah.
That you're so high on him, and so many other teams' fan bases think so highly of him. Like the Cleveland Browns are right there with the New York Jets. They're an embarrassing franchise.
They are.
And he's been there a good amount of time.
Yes.
And while we all respect that he's a two-time coach of the year, I do respect that. And we respect that maybe he's a bit hamstrung because of the owner, because of the decisions that were made, that he tried to veto but couldn't, any of that stuff. But at the end of the day, he's also got to eat what he sowed.
No, I understand that.
Right?
But the thing is,
I don't know why everyone's so gung-ho.
Because he's won Coach of the Year twice with this organization
Kevin Stefanski.
They've won a lot. He walked away from Baker Mayfield. Biggest issue.
Right?
He gave up on Baker Mayfield too early. There's no doubt about that.
Doesn't he have to eat that?
Absolutely.
And while I can blame the Deshaun Watson trade on the owner and the GM, I can blame Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders and that clown show on other people, for sure. I have no problem with that. But the reality is that this is supposed to be a great offensive-minded head coach.
Yeah.
And he had Baker Mayfield there and, oh, by the way, went to the playoffs with Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
All right? And said, you know what? We can do better than Baker Mayfield. And by the way, for a two-year period, he looked like he was right.
Right.
When Baker Mayfield went out to L.A., when he was down in Carolina, and it looked like maybe his career was over, or he's going to be a backup the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And then he resurrected himself in Tampa, and look what fools we are.
Yeah.
That, Carolina didn't keep him, went with Bryce Young, and the Rams obviously have Stafford. They didn't need him.
Well, that's...
But the reality is that Kevin Stefanski's got to own and explain why he didn't see what everyone else sees in Baker Mayfield.
He definitely does. But let me add, you just mentioned, what about the difference is he didn't get Matthew Stafford, right? McVay made the same decision. Jared Goff took him to a Super Bowl.
Right.
And he decided Goff wasn't good enough. Now, Goff has not won anything, but he's won as much as Baker Mayfield has and has taken the Lions to be a perennial powerhouse in the NFC. This was a down year for them, but they put up big numbers as an offense.
30 points a game.
He got Matthew Stafford, though. And Matthew Stafford,
Hall of Fame quarterback.
He got a Hall of Fame quarterback. If he got Deshaun Watson, I don't know where the Rams would be. If he got the list of quarterbacks that Stefanski has gotten since moving on from Baker Mayfield, I don't know if the Rams would be the Rams right now. So I'm not trying to compare them as head coaches because it's unfair. He's one of the great offensive minds in recent memory. I mean, that's how good he's been out in L.A. But I just think that it's been a rough situation for him. He found a way to win a playoff game and get to the playoffs with Joe Flacco. He's a two-time coach of the year with an organization that's been as bad as the Jets and Giants. And I think you saw this team play and fight for him down the stretch of the season. They beat the Steelers go on and beat the Ravens to get into the postseason. They kicked the crap out of the Steelers the second to last week of the season. So they continued to fight for him. He's a good offensive coach. He's had history of being with an organization that has struggled and has managed to find his way to the playoffs with bad quarterbacks. Yes, he gave up on a quarterback that's proven to be a winning quarterback.
Coming up, did Russell Wilson put the Giants in financial harm by opening up his mouth 2 days ago? We'll get into that. Much more football as Kevin Stefanski is on his way to New Jersey right now.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Yo, yo, Carton Show, Big Mac, Carton, you, 888-808-1019. Crazy story about Travis Kelce and his 87 and running foundation raised $1.5 million between 2021 and 2024, and apparently, according to its records, only gave 41 cents on the dollar to actual charity.
Not great.
Where'd the other 59 cents of each dollar go? Well, there's an answer for that. It went to a group called A&A Management Group. A&A Management Group, are Travis Kelce's business partners. They apparently, Aaron and Andre Enos, who also help run the nonprofit, but he's under some fire for that. They have admitted, so they're not denying that that was the split of the money, but their explanation for it is that they accidentally misclassified certain filings in their tax returns, meaning, oops, my bad, give that back. You take that. We don't want that. We don't need that. Take it back. Help the kids. So I'm not sure if Travis is going to comment on that, but raised $1.5 million.
Yeah.
And allegedly, him and his business partners kept essentially 60 cents on the dollar. So $1.5 million means 900 grand went to them.
Yeah.
600 grand went to whatever the purpose of the foundation is. But
I would think that's an easy fix.
Yeah. I mean,
pay $1 million.
Yeah, give the money back.
Give the money back.
I suppose. So, breaking news for you. Mm-hmm. We're the first 45 minutes ago to have it as a fact that Kevin Stefanski was on a plane headed for Newark Airport. We can update you on that now. Kevin Stefanski has landed at Newark Liberty International Airport. Now, the guy that had that, because I believe you give credit where credit is due. Let me see if I can find him. He's on Twitter somewhere. I'll just take credit for it. We are also telling you that Kevin Stefanski has landed at Newark Airport. So if you're a diehard Giant fan, the coach that you might want,
he's here,
is in the state. In the state. Here's Tyler in New Windsor. Tyler, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking the call.
Of course, Tyler.
You got it, Tyler.
So, really quick, you guys made a point earlier. I was asking the question of pretty much, would you rather have Kevin Stefanski now or wait to interview Vance Joseph? And you guys said when you were talking amongst yourselves that Vance Joseph wasn't the guy, and I was curious of why that wouldn't be the case. I just think that you want a defensive coach at this point because you tried offensive coaches for the last 5-6 years, and the defense was so bad. I'm just trying to see at that point of view.
Well, I would say this to you, then. I'm not a Giants fan, so Big Mac will jump in just a second.
Yeah.
If everybody agrees that it's a quarterback league, a passing league, and you believe you found your franchise quarterback, and he's a young, still unproven quarterback going into year two, wouldn't it make sense to have a guy with experience building young quarterbacks into your franchise quarterbacks as the guy in charge? Like, you're not built on your defense anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You're now built on Jackson Dart being a quarterback. So, yeah, to me, I could go hire a Vance Joseph type to be my defensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
And get the same amount of juice out of that squeeze. But I can't have Vance Joseph do that necessarily with his offensive coordinator pick.
Yeah, I don't know what makes you think they need a defensive coordinator outside of Brian Daboll as an offensive coordinator. Joe Judge was a special teams guy. Wasn't even a coordinator. And then, Shermer and McAdoo, offensive coaches. So was Tom Coughlin. The last coach that won them Super Bowls was an offensive head coach. Should we change? Like, I don't care about the previous. This is not, tried defense, need offense, tried offense, need defense. I don't care. The Giants are in a position where the development of Jackson Dart is paramount to anything else. And I want the relationship between the coach and the quarterback. Now, I know he played well the last couple weeks, but you saw what happened to him when he lost his head coach. I want that relationship to be the most important relationship and the most important thing on the team. And I think offensively right now, unless you are going to hire a proven commodity head coach, like we've talked about, if Vrabel was available, I would hire Vrabel and not give a damn that he's a defensive coach. Tomlin, I don't care. He coached defensive backs 20 years ago. But if we are going to go with a head coach, for me, unless it's going to be a proven commodity, I want an offensive-minded head coach to lead this team. I don't think there's any question about it. I can find a defensive guy. I want offense.
Plus, he doesn't pass the moisture test, which is the obvious test all fans should use. If the Giants announced that their next head coach was Vance Joseph, does that make you moist?
No.
So that's not the guy you hired.
No, he's a failed head coach in Denver.
Right.
He's proven to be a good defensive head coach.
Good.
Defensive coordinator.
He was with Arizona.
Yeah.
Obviously, before he went back to Denver.
Back to Denver.
I think he had a cup of coffee with the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken, and with the Cincinnati Bengals before that.
And that's the Dolphins is where he has the connection to Joe Judge.
Got it.
So that's why a lot of people believe that he would be, he is going to interview, and that's the connection. Joe Judge worked with him in Miami, but would not be my guy.
No,
would
listen,
not be my guy.
Now, here's the question.
Yeah.
If the Giants announce it's in short order that Kevin Stefanski is their head coach, you moist?
Yes.
Then that's the guy you sign.
Yes.
Now, not everyone feels the same way, obviously. Then,
right.
You know, that's why we do these shows.
Sure.
Right? But if that's the guy that makes you feel certain something,
yeah.
then that should be your guy. Okay. And I don't need to interview anybody else. I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I don't need to interview anybody else. I agree with you. I still want the home run hire of Tomlin or Harbaugh.
Which is
and
fascinating.
I'm just going to wait that. Don't get me wrong.
So
if
then
they
you're
announce
to lose
today,
him. Yeah.
If they announce today it's Stefanski, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be excited.
And
I'm chasing the dream of one of those two.
That's what's, I hate to overuse the word fascinating.
Yeah.
But that's what's fascinating to me about you.
Well, fascinating.
Like, I think you speak for a good percentage of John fans. Obviously, not all.
No.
Because I know a bunch of John fans want to come on the show now and say, I don't want Kevin Stefanski.
Of course.
All good.
Mm-hmm.
I lean more towards them than you. It's why it's fascinating to me that you are so locked in outside of a Tomlin or Harbaugh, which I get.
Well, because
you know, two guys
else?
Have won Super Bowls, you have great track records.
You're asking the moist question. Go through the candidates right now who are available to be the next head coach. Tell me where you get moist.
Well, I get moist
Mike
over
McCarthy?
Cliff Kingsbury.
Okay, Cliff Kingsbury. Makes
That's
you
my guy.
Okay.
Because I think he had an unfair shake in Arizona.
Okay.
And I saw what he did with Jaden Daniels year one in Washington.
Right.
And I think he's a hell of a coach. And I think he's going to make some young quarterback a rock star.
Okay.
I do.
So you like him better than Stefanski because, I mean, you got
to own. Stefanski has to own the failures in Cleveland along with the GM.